Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, baseball family, to another episode of the Baseball Together podcast. Today we have current events and yet another special interview. We'll bring it to you right now.
9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
As I said, welcome back, baseball family. I am Brig, and I'm here, as always, with our main man, Brad.
That's right. That's
how are you, Brad?
Good. How are you, Brick?
You know, I'm pretty good, thanks.
Good, and you?
Yeah. Are you excited?
Well, not
yeah,
so
good,
bad.
And you? How are you now? Yeah. Are you excited? Are you excited to talk about baseball today?
I'm so excited to talk about baseball today. Like,
me too, because
so
guess
excited.
What? Baseball started today. I know.
It did.
For those of you listening, it was on Sunday, but today is Sunday, and that's when we're talking about things. And we are so excited about it. I will tell you that my MLB TV subscription didn't work.
What?
Somehow. I don't know. So I tried to get on and listen to the ball games today, and it wouldn't let me.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Did I share it with too many people? Or, like, what happened? I don't know. So I will be contacting customer service.
Oh, my gosh.
And discussing the problem. But so also waiting up for T-Mobile to give me free MLB TV. I'm very excited about that.
Yes.
If you're a T-Mobile user and you do not know that on T-Mobile Tuesdays, they give you free MLB TV. I think it's, what is it, March 17th or something like that. They're going to give it away. So jump on there and don't take my slot. Okay, good enough. So only two of today's spring training games went to nine innings.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's bad.
It is bad. it's very strange, but it's also, like, it is bad. I get it. It's the first day of spring training. And here's the thing. They have special rules this year.
They do.
I think we're just going to have to get used to special rules. So what they said for spring training was the teams can contact the league office and let them know that they're playing anywhere between 5 and 9 innings. So they can end a game after 5 innings if they let the league know the day before. I think the shortest today was 6 innings. There were a couple of games that went 6, but there were a couple went 7, a couple went 8. And then the only ones that went 9, you had the Cardinals and Nats tied at 4, and then the Mariners and Padres. The Mariners walked it off 5-4.
Yep.
So I don't even know if those were necessarily planned to go 9, or if they were just like, you know what, we're tied, let's go ahead. Because the Mariners and Padres, I want to say, were tied in the 5th.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, so that game was tied for a while before my guy Julio Rodriguez walked it off.
Our guy.
That's right.
Did you say our guy?
I can say our guy. I said my guy, but he can be our guy.
No, just say my. No.
but like, so I don't like the rule. I don't like that because you've got people paying to come into those games. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I got my tickets for a couple weeks from now. Wilson and I are going to go to a game. And if we show up and, you know, we get to the game, like I said, we bought our tickets end of February. We're going to go the middle of March. And if we walk in and they say, today's game will only be 5 innings. Well, I wouldn't have bought today's game if I had known it was only going to be 5 innings.
Exactly.
But granted, I have a 6-year-old who may or may not last the whole time. I want to have the opportunity to last the whole time. You know?
That could be a cool marketing thing, though. Today's game will be 7 innings, perfect for families. I don't know.
That's true. But you've got to prorate those tickets. I'm not paying full pop for 7 inning game.
Nope. Well, I got to tell you, I got the news today that our tickets were canceled.
What?
Yeah. Here's what it says, and this is incredible. I don't know what happened, but the actual announcement. This is from my buddy who's local down in Tampa. He says the seller isn't able to deliver your tickets, which means we had to cancel the order. We're sorry this happened. Canceled the order, blah, 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 all this stuff. I was going to see the Phillies play the Yankees on the, I think it was the 28th. But so obviously we both jump on and try to buy tickets, and guess what? They're all gone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they sold. I know that I got the Mariners presale because I'm a subscriber to their mailing list, and then they were gone within 12 hours of, like, going on sale to the public. I got another email.
So we had tickets. We had tickets, and now we can't go.
So did you buy them through StubHub? Is that the problem?
I don't know where he bought them, honestly. But that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now that you say it that way. I don't know.
That's a bummer, man.
But it's a big bummer. Anyway, so I'm with you, though. Even though I'm feeling upset about not being able to go to the game, I, at the same time, wouldn't pay for five-inning game at the same rate. I would be upset.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, and then beyond
half the experience.
That, and beyond that, you're not even getting, you're not even getting 54 outs, right? Or
right.
27 on each side. However, you know, if you don't play the bottom of the ninth,
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
But because the other rule that they're doing is the defense can end the inning any time after the pitcher has thrown 20 pitches. So even if you're playing nine, even if they're playing nine, you're not getting a true nine inning game. Like, I wanted to see if the Mariners and Padres played a true nine-inning game. I don't think the Mariners even got two outs in the top of the first.
Oh.
Before they called that inning. You know?
Okay, so, Brad, listen. Is this because, like, we know it's cheating the fans, but let's try and talk about it from the players and managers and owners and stuff like those perspectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're to apply some logic to this, obviously, it's the first game spring training, but these rules apply throughout the month.
Right, yeah.
And then there's, you know, we're warming up arms and everybody's – but pitchers and catchers already reported. Like, that's what they were supposed to be doing. So I'm trying really hard to understand why this is okay and who's really benefiting from it. Like, and maybe, you know, it's something we just don't understand, but –
Well,
what are your thoughts? Like,
this
why,
is the big
why
thing.
These rules?
This is the big thing to me, as far as I understand it, is that they're staggering spring training because they don't want to have 100 guys in the spring training facility all at once. You know, because
there are
the guys who would have been playing rookie ball or whatever, playing short season A, wherever they're going to be this year, they're not going to make the big league club. There's no real reason for them to be with the big league club other than to get experience facing big league pitching or pitching to big league batters.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are guys who in spring training who don't get with the big league squad. They don't get on that big field. They spend the entire spring and then some on the backfields playing simulated games and things like that, basically what we're watching now.
Yeah.
So those guys are not in camp right now. They're staggering to have those guys wait. Like, they're not coming in right now, and so they don't have the arms. Like, you can't throw 15 guys in a spring training game this year because you don't have that many guys every single day, and you don't want to. Mm-hmm. And you definitely don't want to throw a position player in spring training, right? I mean, you run out of pitchers, and then you're like, well, we got to bring in second base. No, I've seen spring training games end in, like, the 7th or 8th inning because they're like, well, we're out of pitchers, so we're just going to call it a day. And and the other manager's like, yeah, it's fine. We don't want anybody to get hurt, so let's just end it.
I mean, that makes sense, and I think the fans should go into it with a certain level of understanding that this is the point, right? We are paying for the privilege of watching these games, quote unquote, because it is a modified everything. Everything's modified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything about it is developmental and assessment, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I think maybe what has happened is we've just gone so many years of it being the same, and we've been given the gift for so many years that now they've stripped it back to what it's essentially supposed to be. And we're going to get huffy about it.
I think you're right, because last year I remember watching when they had those summer camps, you know, I would watch the Mariners scrimmage every day on YouTube because I'm a junkie. And at the end of every inning, they would have the last batter, no matter what happened, they would have him run out the hit. You know, if he struck out, they'd have him sprint to second base and then they would they'd get the pitching machine out in front of the third base dugout, and they'd send a fly ball out to the outfield and work on relays. And that was after the third out of every inning, like regardless.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was cool to see that that's how they run their simulated games. They run their inter-squad scrimmages. And I don't think we'll see anything like that. Like, you know, we won't see anything that informal. But, no, you're absolutely right that they're stripping it back, and we're getting more of a look at the approach to exhibition baseball.
Which is cool, right? And if we can still view it from a position of gratitude and say, look, we're still paying for the privilege here, mm-hmm. right? We're paying for a behind the curtain look at what's going on. If what we see behind the curtain is not what we like, then we don't have to buy a ticket anymore, right?
Yeah, it's true. And you know, I think I would be more okay with it if the backfields were open and you got the full experience. You know, you show up, you know, a couple hours early to the game, you go over, you see guys taking batting practice, you get to interact with some of the players, get a ball signed, whatever, get some pictures. Mm-hmm. And then you go over to the game, get your hot dog, sit down, and then watch the game. And at that point, if they're only playing
five, six innings,
fine. I'm fine with that. Absolutely. Especially, like I said, I've got a six-year-old with me who's at that point is going to be ready to go.
Toast. By five, toast. He's out.
Yeah, yes. And a lot of people are. You see a lot of people after five or six innings get up and go get lunch or an early dinner.
Makes perfect sense.
So,
right.
No, yeah, I think that's where I have the issue with it, is that they're cutting back the spring training experience so much that it's like it's just a bare bones experience now and has the potential to be like minimal when you're paying full pop.
Yep, and the pay is the problem, right? The cost benefit analysis goes out the window.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. For most fans, but there's always the danger for me, and this is the last thing I'll say about this, but there's always the danger of them going, yeah, well, it worked in spring training and nobody threw a fit. Like, let's just bring it into the regular season.
Ugh.
These crazy rules or something. And I don't think, I mean, hopefully some of this would never happen, but the fact that it's allowed at all, you know, like it just, to me, it just inches closer to a precedent and, that becomes normalized and then accepted. Well, so,
seven inning double headers have already been normalized.
Exactly.
I know, and we talk about how it's nice only having to watch 14 innings in one day, but at the same time, it is a slippery slope.
It is. So that's my only concern. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
We have to talk about teams manipulating service time. It's a hot topic. We talk about it every year. It's never going to go away until it changes, right? Until it does actually go away. So Garrett Cole says that it's actually not helping anybody, right? Like nobody's benefiting from the service time manipulation, but that's not true. What's happening is that the owners and the teams, they're benefiting greatly from this, let's call it a racket.
Yeah, there you go.
It's sanctioned illegality or whatever.
So, I mean, before we get too far into this, then you bring that up. I mean, does the union have cause to bring up charges of racketeering against owners?
Oh. Let us examine the definition of racketeering. I'll look it up right now. You filibuster.
Okay. Well, and so this is the thing. This is why this came up. We talked last week about Kevin Mather, the now former CEO of the Mariners, because he was talking about how Jared Kelenic didn't sign a long-term deal. Kelenic came out this week and he said, well, they told me they weren't going to call me up in 2020 because I didn't sign that extension. And as a Mariners fan, I was not like super surprised, but still pretty surprised that he did not make it up in the 2020 season. I was expecting to see him last year. And then Kelenic doubled down on that and said, I don't get the impression I'm going to be seeing the big leagues in 2021 until a month in, which is that, you know, that special window like we saw with Chris Bryant with the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That if they don't get that first month of service time, then they don't get this year. And so the team has an extra year of control on that contract. And so he's saying the Mariners aren't going to call him up until basically, you know, May of this season, so they get that extra year on his contract. But I have an easy solution for the Mariners before we get into racketeering break. I have a simple solution. Put Jared Kelenic on the freaking opening day roster. It's all you got to do.
Right.
All you have to do. Keep that extension on the table and say, if you want it, You can have it. You can sign it. If not, we'll negotiate when the time comes. But here is your full year of service time. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
So.
So in that definition, that's more closely aligned with extortion. Because extortion, the definition of extortion is the practice of obtaining something, especially money, mm-hmm. through the force of threat. Right? So it's a coercive tactic. Yeah. What they've done is instead of benefiting or obtaining, they're withholding things. For this, but this is their force. This is the threat, right? Like, we mm-hmm. are not, you will not be called up because you didn't sign an extension. If yeah. that's on the record somewhere, there might, you know, there might be a case there. But back to this service time thing, definition of racketeering is simply dishonest or fraudulent business dealings.
And that's, I'd say
the,
that's
the dictionary definition, and that's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a more robust definition, because that's a really general definition of racketeering. But
it is, but I think that. I mean, I'm like 99 to 100% sure that Kelenic and his agent and the union are going to file a grievance against MLB, and they will win.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100% will win. I mean, there's a chance he could possibly get some of last year tacked onto his service time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he wins an appeal and wins the grievance. But like I said, if they put him on the opening day roster, it's not, I don't feel like it's as big of an issue. They can, all they have to do is admit, okay, we think you're ready and this is our proof. We're not going to hold you back. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I think that's what they need to do.
Okay. I just have to get into this a little bit because this is interesting. So the perpetrators often offer fraudulently a service that will not be put into effect. They offer a service to solve a non-existent problem, or they offer a service that solves a problem that would only exist because of the racket itself. So particularly the potential problem. Yeah. The potential problem may be caused by the same party that offers to solve it for you, but in fact is concealed because there's actually no intent to the problem wouldn't exist if the problem wasn't exist. Being presented with a ready-made solution.
Wow.
So this is pretty interesting because that sounds an awful lot like, yeah, actually you can't, we're not going to call you up. Why? Well, you know, it'll cause all these problems. See, well, what problems?
Internally.
Well, you know,
it's all paperwork.
It's all this paperwork stuff, and you wouldn't understand, but really, you know, you and everybody else, you're going to be a lot better off, see, if you just you just do it our way. What happens if I don't do it your way? Well, we can't see, that's not possible. We're not going to let that happen. Why are you going to let that happen? Because we make all the rules.
And antitrust laws.
With impunity.
That too, so.
And what?
Antitrust laws, so.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, man, that's...
Oh, my goodness.
You know, after reading Bloodsport, I wondered if MLB was a crime syndicate.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to feel more and more that could be a real possibility. Oh, boy.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, that's
And you
scary.
Talk about the wages. You talk about the earning disparity with minor leagues and all the way up, and it's like mm-hmm. that's even more... evidence.
Yep. Anyway, hey Brig, you had a really cool article that compared service time to like real world stuff.
Yeah, let me pull that up really quick.
Yeah.
So I was reading the New York Post.
Oh,
come on, y'all read the New York Post. Come on, we all know. And it was talking about service time, and this is what it said. It said this great analogy. New York Post. Let's see, Joel Sherman is the author. And Joel wrote, imagine you finish at the top of your class at Harvard Law or Johns Hopkins Medical, and you are told at graduation that you are... it just jumped. See these ads. You're told at graduation that you will not be hired for 6 months, not because you are unqualified, but because it is a way for an institution to maintain control over your services for an extended period and limit your earnings, perhaps for your entire career. So like that's,
yeah,
that's what the service time thing. To me, that was a really poignant way of bringing it back to the layman, right? To helping anybody understand what's going on.
Well, and not only that, but you can take it a step further and you can say, but every day during that 6 months and beyond, you have the potential as, you know, as a surgeon to break a finger and never be able to perform surgery again. If that happens before 6 months, you don't get any of that contract. If it happens during the 6 months, you get like the rest of your pay for that year and that's it. Or, you know, a lawyer, something happening with his voice or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And you're not able to perform the job anymore. So like, not only are they controlling you, but you're at tremendous risk of not actually being able to perform your job
during
like
that,
ever get there or
the gap. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even perform it going forward. So no, I thought that was a perfect description. I think it's a great way to go.
Me too.
So
yeah, it was really, that was really intense and I couldn't really understand what, like what the deal is. Anyway, I don't know. Okay, let's talk about our last topic for today, current events section. This is kind of a back page piece of news, and it shouldn't be, and that's why we wanted to bring it up.
Yeah,
Marla Miller has served as Major League Baseball Senior Vice President of Special Events for 21 years, and she is stepping down from her position. And you think, okay, guys, why are we talking about a senior vice president of special events? Well, what we're about to tell you, okay? So, Marla Miller, she was MLB's first female senior vice president, and she has been in charge of planning the All-Star Game, the World Series, any ceremonies and entertainment, including national anthem singers, for 21 years, right? Mm. And she has been instrumental in launching the All-Star Fan Fest, the All-Star Red Carpet Show, the All-Century Team, the Memorable Moments Campaign, and special events like the Little League Classic, especially the one that was at Fort Bragg in 2016. And this is all from ESPN. I'm reading this list. And even the Field of Dreams game in Iowa. This is all instrumental because of Marla Miller. So you want to take it all the way back. She's also been instrumental and took charge of planning, according to ESPN, the winter meetings and the owners' meetings. So these things that we take for granted, these things that we think have been around forever, and oh my gosh, what a good idea. This is a lot of it has to do with Marla Miller, and after 21 years of service to Major League Baseball, we should, as fans, where her efforts have gone to support, I think give her a nod.
For sure. Well, and something like the Field of Dreams game, that were like, they announced it and we're like, oh, that's super cool. How's it going to work? I don't know. They'll figure it out. She figures it out.
She figures it out. Yeah. Her and her team figure it out.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And then like the Little League Classic. I don't think there's been anything that's been a better way to get players to interact with Little Leaguers than the Little League Classic, which, you know, I know it's a select group of Little Leaguers who get to actually have that experience, but kids seeing that experience is a big deal.
Totally.
And I think that that's been one of my favorite things that's come down in Major League Baseball in probably, golly, I don't even know, 20, 25 years, something like that. I think it's great. I hope they bring in somebody who is as creative and as good at their job as Marla Miller has been, because like you said, that's a position we've all taken for granted, but we've all enjoyed what she's done.
That's right.
So,
well, and who can forget Charlie Blackman's red carpet walks? I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, that event was made for him and guys like him. So I think we should be grateful we have the opportunity to see him in his cutoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, with that, baseball family, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to come at you with a very special interview, and we think you'll enjoy it.
I'm Jason.
And I'm David, and we're the hosts of the Non-Nor Sports Podcast. We're the home of sports talk for everyone. Join us bi-weekly as we talk about the happenings in sports.
You can find the Non-Nor Sports Podcast on anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever else you find your podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, baseball family. We have a special guest with us tonight. We have Jewel Young, actually somebody who I met through the Rays community because of we talk every week about Rays Energy. He and I, we're part of a Rays group on Facebook. So welcome, Jewel. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Great. We're happy to have you. So we're going to give you the same treatment we give all of our guests. We're going to go through the rundown and see if you can handle it. All right. You ready for this?
Bring it. I'm ready. Ready as I'll ever be.
All right. Your first question. What is your quest?
My quest.
Mm-hmm.
My quest is to, I guess my quest is to help not educate, but let everyone know about baseball, just to keep them updated, to let everyone in on the know, and just for baseball to spread, the love of the game to spread, the love that I have for everyone else to have.
Awesome. Next question. What is your favorite color?
It's going to have to be Seahawk Navy and Seahawk Bright Green.
Ooh, Brad is nice. Excited about that.
I am excited about that. I do love those colors.
And the Mariner Teal.
Yeah, the Mariner Teal is very nice. The Seahawks Lime Green, like, I really like it a lot, but I do not like the lime green uniforms. You know, when they go all lime, it's too much. It's too much.
Too much. I agree.
Yeah, too much of a good thing. There is such a thing. All right. If your team, the Seattle Mariners, same with mine, were a beverage, what would it be?
Mountain Dew.
Oh my God.
That was fast.
Dude.
Oh my.
I got my Diet Dew.
You gotta be kidding. I literally went to the gas station right before this and I got a Mountain Dew. Like
2 peas. Holy smokes.
See, I knew you were both heathens. I just knew it.
Oh, come on, Brad. You're just jealous.
Must be a Northwest thing. All right, go ahead, Brig.
Next question is, if you could name your dog after a baseball player at any era, it doesn't matter who it is, what would you name your dog?
Griffey.
Oof. That is the correct answer.
Maybe Edgar, actually. Well, no, Edgar's not a dog name. Griffey.
You could name him Bone. Like Jay Buhner Bone. Dog Bone. I don't know.
I would, if I was going to do Jay Buhner, I would just be Buhner.
Buhner, I think it's probably the right way to go there. Bone is too much of a dog pun to be a good dog name. I think you've got a valid point there.
And then I think of Brett Boone, you know.
Oh, yeah. We don't need Brett Boone.
We don't need all that.
We don't need to bring him in. Good choice. Griffey, I like it. Okay. What is your favorite fourth inning snack?
Ooh, if I'm in the fourth inning, I've already probably had too many sunflower seeds, but I still have them. I'm not really into peanuts, but I'm probably going like a cotton candy or a lemonade.
Very nice. Follow-up question real quick. How do you feel about the garlic fries at T-Mobile?
Out of this world. They shouldn't even be allowed to serve them. They're good.
They're the best. I say it all the time.
Hearing this.
I'm always talking about the garlic fries.
Brad. He's raving about them.
Yep.
Brad, you gotta try them. They just don't have them on the East Coast because you guys just can't do it like us. But
it's true. It's true, but I'll get out there one day and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
I heard Reed has your, good ones too.
What's your favorite baseball life lesson or parallel to life?
Favorite baseball life lesson by far is patience. Kind of letting the life and the game come to you. Something I've always learned. That's like one of the biggest things I took from the game is patience. And just applying it because if you're watching the game, you got to be patient. If you're playing, you got to be patient. You got to, and just be ready to attack when the opportunity is there. So I would say between those, that's it.
Awesome.
Solid.
Like that. Solid. Yeah.
What is the name of your yacht?
Man, I would have to go to Kingdom.
Nice.
Kingdom.
That's a good one.
If you could grab a piece of MLB memorabilia, what is it? What you grabbing? For money's not an object.
Oh, I'm I want to say I want to grab that $65,000 Babe Ruth signed baseball Costco had. But no, I'm going the ball that Felix used when he tossed his perfect game.
Oh,
solid.
Brilliant.
That's really good. That is really, really good. I like that.
Or Ichiro's last hit, or his the last bat he used in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, that would, oh man, I don't even know how much that would cost. That would be unreal. Anyway,
I'll settle with a cleat.
What's that?
I'll settle for a cleat. Yeah. One of those guys.
Even like a single spike. Not even like the shoe, just like a single spike.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
All right. When it comes to hats, snapback, fitted, or flex fit?
So I have a problem with flex. No flat bill, no fitted. That's not me. I hate flex fit because my head is between a medium and a large. Mm-hmm. And so I have to do that thing when I have to roll up the back for it to fit.
Mm.
To like stay in place. So yep. I do snapback, but I have to wear it at an angle because again, my head's won't fit.
I get it. Somehow, as I've aged, I've gotten to the point where my hats don't go on straight, like naturally anymore. I don't know what it is. And nothing makes me crazier than a crooked hat, especially on my own head. So I have to like put it on and then like center it, either look in the mirror or feel the sides of the bill, you know?
Yes.
And oh man, I don't know what it is. Like as I've aged, I don't know if my head has changed shape or whatever, but yeah, it just doesn't go on straight anymore. And it drives me insane. Absolutely insane.
Agreed.
Okay, last question. What is your Korean baseball team of choice?
Oh, Korean? Kia Tigers? Are they KBO?
They are.
They are.
Ding, nice. Ding, ding.
Very good.
Nice.
Very good. It's the wrong answer, but you got one. You got one.
You got, oh,
yeah. My first thought was Rakuten Eagles because Tanaka just re-signed with them. And that was like the latest NPB KBO thing that I've seen. And so I was like, Rakuten Eagles.
No, we both decided that we were going to be Dinos fans. And the Dinos are the champs. So that's the right answer. But no, we'll give you credit for Kia Tigers. That's perfect.
The Dinos are where Sungbum Na plays, right?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep, that's right. Yep. That's this hat that I have on is a nod to the NC Dinos at our shop. Nice. But anyways, all right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk some Negro Leagues with Jewel because he has some connections.
No matter which ballpark you're at, you want to rep your team. Now you can with 9+ Us. Welcome to the Big City Series. With every design available in your team's colors, you can fit in with the home crowd or stand out on the road. Either way, we have the colors you crave. Shop the Big City Series and find designs that rep your favorite baseball podcast, cheer from the cheap seats, and much more. Drop the Big City Series only at 9plusus.com.
Welcome back, baseball family. We are here with Jewel. He has some connections with Negro Leagues baseball, and we wanted to give him a chance to tell us about his connections with that part of baseball's history and kind of introduce us to some of those topics. Jewel, why don't you tell us a little bit about your affiliations with the Negro Leagues?
Perfect. So I don't know if you guys this one's going on YouTube or not, but if YouTube, I don't know if they're seeing me or not, but first glance, you're probably thinking, how does this guy have affiliation with the Negro Leagues? I know these guys are thinking the same thing. I know these two are thinking the same thing. Like I told Brad, and he's like, he probably questioned his entire life. So the whole backstory, I've always been a writer, right? I've always been writing since like middle school, just short stories, random stuff here and there. I've always loved baseball, always had love of the game. Played until I tore my UCL when I was a senior in high school. So up until then, always writing, you know, I knew I was part African-American. I'm a quarter African-American. But I thought it all was from my dad's side until a little bit when I was about 19, 20. I found out that my maternal grandfather was actually from Haiti, so Pacific Islander, but back in early America during that whole time, it didn't matter where you're from, it was just the color of your skin. So my great-great-grandfather, he went by the name of Faye Young, or Frank Albert Young. He signed all his stuff Faye, and he's considered the dean of Negro sports writers. So he's a large part of the reason that we have a lot of the 1920s, 1930s Negro League history that we do, as well as a lot of African-American boxers and sports writers. He really set the path for that. He was a founding member of the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Defender sports page. That's his crowning achievement. And he, you know, he covered boxing. Baseball was his thing. He would ride on the train every day from Chicago to somewhere else. I can't remember. But during that time, he would get like the day before the next day's paper, because it would come out on the East Coast and he would be traveling west. So he would already have everything that happened the day before. So by the time he got further west and changed time zones, he was the first one bringing the news out that to that side.
Wow.
So that was something really cool he did. Another
sounds
story,
like a one-man AP wire.
Basically, but 1920s, 30s, 40s style, you know.
That's cool.
And so another kind of folklore story, not folklore because it's true. It's from my great aunt. She told the story because she was there, but he actually knew Jackie Robinson in Chicago. And, you know, they spoke, they had a relationship. And one day when Jackie, you know, you guys have probably seen 42, all that fun stuff. There was a time where he just wanted to quit, like before everything happened, before he signed, he just wanted to completely quit baseball, just be done, walk away, never look back at any athletic field again. And it was actually Faye who talked him into staying with baseball, to talk him into staying with it, to not give up, to not quit, and to keep going. So not that he's the whole reason, because, you know, Jackie's wife was a big part of it as well. But Jackie, from what I know from Faye, had a really small circle. It wasn't huge. It was really small. And Faye was part of that. So it's really cool. I do have to shout out Donna Halper from the SABR Bio Project. She wrote a full workup on Faye. That's actually a lot where I get a lot of my information from is her. She's super nice. She's just a nice, awesome person. And yeah, so just wanted to shout her out because she deserves a ton of credit. She's covered other female African-American sports writers from around that same time that were influenced by Faye. And she has a lot of great work on the Saber Bio Project website. So
yeah, that's I'm awesome. Pulling it up. It's Saber, SABR.org. And yep. You can go to the bio project for Faye Young, right? I'm looking at it right now. This is really well written. It's really well detailed. There's a bunch of cross-referencing and footnoting and things like that. This is extensive. Very, very cool.
That's awesome. So, I mean, really, I feel like the big connection here is, I mean, we've all heard of the Negro Leagues. And part of what sparked this conversation between Jewel and I was when Major League Baseball announced that they were basically adopting the Negro Leagues into and considering them Major League Baseball teams, which means that guys who played in the Negro Leagues can be voted into the Hall of Fame, right? Is that exactly what that means?
That's part of it, but their stats are like included. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Their stats are part of baseball. So like Bob Gibson, a lot of Negro League historians consider him the actual home run king. He technically has the record, but MLB is still working through all the stats from the Negro League, and there's so many different leagues of the Negro League and different time frames because they were shut down for a period of time, like they just stopped.
Yeah.
Right around World War II, and then they picked back up again, but then Jackie Robinson and then more signings happened after that, so then they kind of just died out. And you know, they were doing everything they could to bring in any athletes. They actually had women playing in the Negro Leagues for a period of time. And it was mixed in between. So MLB sorting. So technically, if you take that, then the MLB technically had women play for it too. Which is pretty cool from that. But yeah, it's interesting how it all relates. So we'll see how it unfolds. I assume it will happen over the next year. We'll see the stats kind of all come to the surface as they process some and whatnot.
Well, and you know,
yeah, that's a really exciting development.
Yeah. And the first one that comes to mind for me is Satchel Paige, just because I mean, you hear people talk about Satchel Paige, like he was the greatest pitcher of all time, you know, but he doesn't get any recognition because he didn't actually come into MLB until he was in his 40s. And, you know, but all that time he spent in the Negro Leagues, like he'll finally get recognition for that. And that's exactly. Really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. And like Hank Aaron was the last player who just passed away. Rest in peace. But he was the last player to actually play in the Negro League and then in the MLB. So that's how recent like the Negro Leagues were in terms of like baseball history. You know, within the last 50 years, we've finally gotten to the point in the MLB, which is nice to see the progression, you know. It's nice. So
really is.
So I recently visited the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City, and I've said it 100 times, but if you haven't had an opportunity to go do that, go do that. Just do what I do. If here's the right way, get a buddy, rent an RV that you've never done before, nothing like that, and drive, you know, 1500 miles in one day, honestly, and then turn around, come back. That's the right way to do it. If you're going to do it. No, but it takes, honestly, you could spend 3 whole days perusing the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and never get through the whole thing. It was a tremendous experience start to finish. The history is like, I like to say it's carpeted in history, and it really feels that way. It's so dense.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to go to the Negro League Museum, Joel?
When I was a little kid, I was taken there probably when I was like 9 or 10, 8 or 9. I actually had family that lived in Kansas City. And so I remember going out there when I was like 9 or something. And I remember us going there, when I was young, but I don't remember it. But I hope to go back in the nearish future.
Yeah. Probably not nearly as significant to a 9-year-old as, especially as it would be now knowing what you know. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. At the time it's just, you know, a really cool baseball museum, but now like absolutely significant. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But Jewel, I actually have a few questions for you as a Mariners fan to Mariners fan. Okay. I just want to switch gears here a little bit. Briggs a Yankees fan, so he can go do whatever he wants to do for a minute. But but Jewel, I made a prediction. I want to get your opinion on this. I made a prediction earlier this year or end of last year, something like that the Mariners the Mariners are going to win a World Series this decade sometime.
I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. And I've actually been thinking that for about 2 years now, with, you know, the progress of the rebuild, kind of just how's everything flowing, kind of where we're at. I mean, next off season, I think the Mariners have like $25 million in committed payroll before arbitration. And the opening day payroll from like 2017 or 18 was like $189 million. And so they have bucos of money to spend, especially after this offseason where they handed out maybe like $25 million in contract total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if that. But no, I agree. I think the Mariners are the sleeping giant of the AL West. Just because of the talent that's coming. I mean, outfields are going to have Kyle Lewis, Jared Kelnick, and Julio Rodriguez by the end of this year, if not next year.
Two of those guys are top 5 prospects in Major League Baseball. The other one is just Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, right.
That's going to be the best outfield in baseball in 3 years.
And then we have a Gold Glove first baseman, a Gold Glove shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
We won't have Kyle Seager, but I wouldn't be shocked if he came back on a cheaper deal.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully,
And I could actually see, I could see Seager, I could see the Mariners moving on from him or him retiring, just because, I mean, he's had kind of a resurgence the last 2 years. He's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's like he's refound his prime. But by the time the Mariners are ready to actually win, I don't know if they're either going to move on from him or if he's going to be ready to retire. And then if they're going to make that their big money spot, their big leadership spot, you know, at third base. But yeah. I feel like the problem is pitching. And I know that those guys are really young right now, but you got to get that bullpen sorted out.
Yeah, the bullpen, right? I think the rotation showed an insane amount of upside last year. You know, Kikuchi, his ERA wasn't pretty or his FIP, but you dig a little bit deeper. He only gave up like 3 home runs. His fastball velocity was average about 96. Just all his deeper metrics, you look a little bit deeper under the surface, he was a great pitcher. But of course those things still happen, but he was great underneath the surface, you know. And then you got Sheffield and Dunn, who looked decent last season, and then Margavichis looked surprisingly decent. But yeah, the bullpen's where they're gonna have to spend some money,
definitely, because I felt like they had games. They're in just about every game, you know. I mean, there were guys who had their bad days, like they do, but they're in just about every game into the 5th, 6th, 7th inning, and the bullpen comes in, and it's a close game. You're like, no chance.
Yeah, no, no it chance. Was. They were there too. They were there until the last day of the season. They finished one game away from the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they were right there the whole time, and then, you know, it was so close, and even, you know. Whatever they decide to do at third base and second base come this season, next season, because Seager's last year of his contract this year. So, you know, we'll kind of see, and hopefully we'll see something from Mitch Haniger and Tom Murphy coming back. So should be an exciting year. You know, the AL West is looking bleak come 2022, especially. So,
yep. You know, and that's one thing I talked about. That's one thing I talked about the Mariners too, is that it feels like Jerry DePoto had it timed out just right, that the prospects will hit when the Astros have to get rid of everybody because they don't want to pay anybody.
Yep. Right?
So here's hoping. I'm glad that I'm not the only one who's like wildly optimistic about the Mariners' chances, because sometimes I feel like I'm the only one, especially with what I see on social media.
I'm excited for Logan Gilbert this year, Hancock some point, hopefully next year.
Mm-hmm.
George Kirby, you know, there's just so many pitch start rotation pieces. There's just not enough bullpen pieces to go around, but there's plenty still available. I'm kind of shocked they haven't even tried to go after like a Rosenthal or someone just out there to improve a little bit on a 2-year, 3-year deal, 2-year deal. So,
yep. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Greg, you started to say something. Sorry, well, I cut you off.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to give Jewel a chance to talk about his blog. It's the ballboyblog.com, correct?
Yes, correct.
Now, you're giving up-to-date baseball information on there. I see a blog post here from, 4 hours ago. Now, obviously, this isn't...
Yeah, so that one was supposed to go out this morning, but I put 8 p.m. and not a.m. on my schedule.
Hey man, we
all do.
We know about that.
So that latest one's my power rankings that I just started about 3 weeks ago. The whole blog started. It was actually supposed to start as a podcast about a year ago with a friend of mine, and you know, it ended up not working out. But I already had like 25 pieces of content just ready, so I went through edited them to make into blog posts and then started posting them, and this kind of kept going. And then this year, back in October or August, I actually switched over to its own website that I built through Wix, and then started adding on, you know, the power rankings, all my yearly reviews, you know, weekly Around the Horn, which is all the news from around the league for the last week. Just kind of recap real quick. I got some fantasy baseball stuff started and going out for each position on your targets and where you should target them. In my opinion, obviously I'm not a professional, but I've been playing fantasy baseball for about 12 years. So,
wow.
Nice.
So, you know, I have all just a good variety of different content on the blog. So it's been a lot of fun over the last year or so to kind of just go through it and just stay up to date and research. It's definitely a nice stress reliever and something just to kind of look forward to be able to do. So
yeah
it's
I
in
like
my blood
that.
It's in
we
my
totally
blood
get that.
Know?
yeah absolutely.
I like that you've been at fantasy baseball for, what'd you say, 12 years? That's a lot more than I can say. Let me think back on how many times I've played fantasy baseball.
So my
none.
I won
it's too
three
complicated for me.
It's the chess. It's chess.
Yeah.
Fantasy sports.
But with 400 chess pieces, like.
yeah. It's
exactly. It's a lot.
And so I enjoy. I usually play in like two or three leagues every year.
Wow. Seriously.
Yeah.
So for the people listening, then, you know, if you need insights into fantasy baseball, I mean, this is where I would start looking. If Brad like tried to talk me into playing fantasy baseball or whatever, I would probably.
I was gonna say, you say that you're not a fantasy professional, but let's be honest, the professionals aren't really professionals either. I play fantasy football every year, and I don't listen to the professionals. I do the opposite of what they tell me because it seems to work out better. So.
I definitely one of my. Best years of my first championship I ever won, and Briggs might or might not like this. It was when our longtime Seattle Mariner A-Rod came back from steroids, and he was hitting like 285. He hit like 20 home runs, you know, down the stretch, and he was like just so consistent that year. And I think A-Rod has one of the best swings since forever. If you just look at his swing, before steroids, after steroids, it was there. And so New York Yankee A-Rod led me to my first fantasy baseball championship.
Oh, so, I'm happy for you, but I'm confused.
I was too, but a championship's a championship. You know?
Yeah, that's right. You parked the ship in the harbor.
So Jewel, I have an A-Rod question for you then. So if you can put your fantasy baseball feelings aside against A-Rod, would you... Given everything, would you put A-Rod in the Hall of Fame?
I would absolutely. I actually just wrote a Hall of Fame piece of the results. So that came on. The Hall of Fame was announced on the 26th of January with zero inductees, as we know. Curt Schilling should have been inducted. But on that, I put my 10 guys who I thought should have been in the Hall of Fame, who I would have voted for. And that includes Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Gary Sheffield, Andy Pettit, all four of those guys are connected to steroids. And, you know, we could go on with us forever, but I think just how inconsistent the commissioners have been over the decades between Sealing and Manfred for punishments. I mean, you look at the Astros, but you look at Pete Rose, and then you look at steroids. But what it comes down to is the got to add that in, but you also have to account for, you know, what they did on the field and how they did it on the field. You know, there was 40, 50, 60, 70 plus players juicing during that time. And Clemens and Bonds and Sosa just did it better, in my opinion. I think they just did it better. And there's so many players doing it. There's so many. So it's hard to argue against the ones that were great at it and truly used it to enhance the performance, and guys who just use it one off and had one great year, like Brett Boone, for example, and guys who did it for 20 years. So
yeah
and that's I understand that argument totally, with, you know, all the field being basically being level with so many guys juicing, and those guys were still that much better. I understand the argument. Doesn't mean I have to like it, but I understand it.
Right. Sorry, go ahead, and I was going to say that's there for sure. There's a lot of people that agree with you. So you're definitely not alone in your opinions.
And, you know, Clemens never tested positive. Bonds never tested positive. And the guys that did test positive, A-Rod, he took a suspension and then he came back and still played. You know, he took it, he owned it. But then you get a guy like Manny Ramirez, who's still getting votes, but he had that second test and he was supposed to be out a whole year, and he just decided to retire and so decided to take the punishment.
Yeah.
That's where it kills it for Manny Ramirez for me. But next year's ballot is juiced. I mean, you got A-Rod coming on, David Ortiz coming on. Like, it's literally juiced. Like, yeah, you know, Bonds, Clemens, Schilling in their 10th year. Yeah. And it just, yeah, it's going to be hard to not elect all these players.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be.
Yeah.
Good thing it's done by percentage.
yeah. With 14 blank ballots that get to be considered. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, Jewel, I just have one more question for you. Speaking of the whole steroids thing, A-Rod, all that, have you read the book Bloodsport?
I have not. I've heard of it.
It's the A-Rod biogenesis story. Okay. I highly recommend getting on it ASAP because
yes,
it's like a crime thriller. It reads like a crime thriller. It's amazing. We chose not to talk about it just because, like on as its own episode, just because there are certain aspects of that we feel like we cannot share our opinion because we might not make it through the next week living. So, it's really good. Yeah. It's a really good book.
Yeah. But when it comes to A-Rod in particular, like, he was great before steroids when he was a Mariner and then went into the early part of his Rangers career and then into his Yankees career. He came back from it. He came back from the steroids and still put up, you know, consistent numbers into his late 30s. So it was a sustained period of great play. You know, that's kind of what the argument is for A-Rod. I think A-Rod is a Hall of Famer. You take the steroids out of it, you know, before or after, he would have been there.
Even with the slap, though? I mean, come on, man. I mean, he was in pinstripes and everything. It's like, you should, like, whoops, you shouldn't have done that. You lose points, but then you did it in pinstripes, and now you're, like, bottom of the barrel. Like,
I mean, any player who puts on pinstripes is bottom of the barrel. So,
whoa!
Oh, boy. Wow.
Wow. I walked right into that. Shoot.
Yeah. I mean, they just get hurt. You trade for them from the Marlins, and they just hurt. And you're paying them $30 million a year. I mean,
He's listened to you, Brick.
I know.
You know what I just feel like just happened?
I feel like I charged the mound against Nolan Ryan, and I just got put in a headlock and got the noogies.
Or you just got a Mariano Rivera slider or cutter. I mean,
oh man, that was amazing.
That was epic, man. That was so good.
Well, let's get out of here on that note. That was fantastic. Right. Again, check out Jewel's blog, theballboyblog.com. Sounds like he's got some great content on there. Go take a look and check it out. He'll have some great stuff for you. Jewel, thanks again for joining us. That was fantastic.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Listeners, listen to these guys, follow them. These guys are great. And go order some Raise Energy while you're at it. So
that's right.
No doubt.
It'll help you make great friends. Like
that's
Griggs and
true
Brown.
Fact.
So
and you fact. Can hear light at the same it's good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jewel.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jewel.
All right, a big thank you to Jewel Young of the Ball Boy blog. We really appreciated him coming on with us. But before we get going, we wanted to remind you to jump on 9plusus.com, jump on the shop. We got some great stuff on there for you. I'm going to tell you right now, Brig and I have been working really hard to get some stuff together for you, some really cool stuff that's coming down in the next couple months. We will keep you updated on that. And, I'll be honest, there's going to be a big, I guess you could say a hullabaloo when it all comes down. Got some fun stuff coming for you. We're really excited. Don't forget to jump on baseballtogether.com where you can watch the podcast. You can listen to the podcast. Give us a like, subscribe, rate, review wherever you can on any of your podcasting apps. And baseball family, we will catch you next week.